Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Vesaya Bhutale Yade Bhakti Vedanta Sami Nitti Namine Namaste Sarasvati Deve Gauravani Vacharine Vese Sasunyavari Askatyare Satarine Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Sri Vasadi Gaura-Bhaktamin Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. In India, I heard a very, very nice and deep story about the quality of our life. It was about a brahmana, a saintly person who was looking for a new residence. He had traveled through many countries and many villages to pick out the village which he wanted to reside in. So that one morning, it was around this time, he traveled into a village, and as he came to the beginning of the village, he saw something which looked like a graveyard. That was very surprising to him, because in India, bodies are cremated and then their ashes is put into holy rivers. There are no graveyards, really. But there it was. Stones which said, "Here is Gopal. He lived for 2 years. Here is a nice woman's name, Indira. She lived for 1 year and 9 months. And here is Kishore. And there is Kishori. They lived for 1 year and 8 months." And in this way, stone after stone spoke about a very short period of life. The brahmana was shocked. This is a village of death. Everyone dies very, very young. That evening he gave a lecture on the marketplace, and he noted that everyone who came to the lecture was more or less like you. They had a pen and some paper, and they made some note into their book. Brahmana felt happy. Oh, someone cares for what I say. They make notes of what they hear. But still, he remained so shocked by what he had seen in the morning, these gravestones which had 2 years of living, 1.8 years of living in it. He decided he would just spend one night in the village of death and then leave early at 5 o'clock the next morning. He slept. He had very, very amazingly good dreams. He got up, and then at 5 o'clock he left. Now as he came to the end of the village, he saw a man. The man said, "Chekai, stop. Where are you going? It's so early." "I'm a putnik, I'm a traveler, I'm moving on. But why? Your lecture was so nice yesterday. Why don't you stay a few days?" "No, other commitments." He didn't want to say that he was afraid to die in the village of death. But finally, the man kept asking and asking why he wanted to leave so early. Finally, the Brahmana said, "I don't want to die in your village of death." The man looked surprised. Who says that you are going to die here? "Your graveyard says that I'm going to die." 2 years, 1.9 years. Come on, this is not a normal life. A man still looks surprised. But I'm living. True. My father is living, and he still has all his teeth. Zuba. "Yes," said the Brahmana, "but when I came into your village, I saw at the beginning of the village these stones. Gopal lived 2 years, Indira lived, how much was it? 1.9. Kishori, 1.8. "Ah," said the man, "you misunderstand. Here in this village, we don't measure the life by the years which we spent in this body. We measure the life by the amount of spiritual practice which we do. Have you noted how the people came to your lecture and wrote something into a book? Do you know what they wrote inside the book?" The Brahmana said, "Well, I like to hear." "They wrote how long they spent listening about God." When you have a life of 90 years and you have every day 1.5 hours of spiritual practice, you become 2 years old. Philip, you understand? Yeah, good. The real value of life is not how long this body lives. This body is a machine which has to die today or tomorrow, like a car. It is made like this. The value or quality of life is how much you engage in activities which prepare you for eternity. What do you think about this, Mahajala? It's true, no? Profound. This is the value of life. This is the quality of life. We are all inside this body as the eternal soul, and we should do activities during this life which prepare us. These activities should not be activities of ignorance, of hatred, of greed, of illusion. These activities should be spiritual activities. Huh? This is what we mean with quality of life. So today, our quality day, we will talk a little bit about what is the quality in our practice. Raj Kishore, do you think this is an interesting subject? Good. Fine. I feel encouraged. My spiritual master used to take every morning a morning walk. During this morning walk, he used to discuss with his disciples spiritual subject matters. They would walk and talk. This is how he would instruct many times all of us. I remember in Paris, Srila Prabhupada spoke to us in the Jardin de Luxembourg, if I say it properly. He spoke about meeting the spiritual master in our dreams. It was a very esoteric discussion, but I learned a lot from it. And here, on this morning walk, which I want to read to you, it was in Nairobi. He talked about quality. Ivo, have you visited Nairobi also in your... Oh, yeah. You met him in Nairobi? Wow. Amazing. What is your good name? Gayatri. So Gayatri worked in Nairobi for 10 years for one Italian line. Airlines. Italian Airlines. And she met Prabhupada in Nairobi 4 times. Amazing. Wonderful. Congratulations. So there, Brahmananda asked, how can we bring most quality into our chanting of Hare Krishna? What does this mean to chant with quality? And Prabhupada gave a very interesting answer. He said, if you chant with quality, it means you do not have to push yourself. You do not have to force yourself to chant. Your chanting comes from the heart, from a attraction. You feel attracted to Krishna. And now, with great love in your heart, you chant his holy name. It's no longer a meditational practice where you practice to do something, but it comes from the force of your attraction, your heart. And then he gave an example which we have thought about yesterday. He gave the example of Haridas Thakur, who used to spend his whole day sitting and chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And then, when the sun would rise early in the morning, after a whole day and night had gone, he would say, "What? It's already the next day? I have not even started to chant." You can hear from this example how much he chanted from his heart, how much he chanted with the force of attraction. In New York, I'm very often in yoga studios and talking there. And I have one friend who's a yoga teacher. He's a very, very nice person. I hope one day I can invite him here and introduce him to you. His name is Eddie Stern. He's the yoga teacher of people like Madonna and Madonna, not Maria, but American singer Madonna. Yes. Govinda Nanda was thinking, what? Is now Maria, the mother of Jesus, practicing yoga? <You know? laughs> No, it is. It's a pop singer whose name is Madonna. And he is. One day, he does these amazing yoga exercises. You know, like standing for half an hour on the little finger. You know, and really, it's amazing. Once I told him, "See, Krishna consciousness works with another energy than your yoga. In yoga, you have to push yourself gently to do the exercises. You may be a little lazy to do the exercise, but then you have to overcome this. It's called in yoga language the tamasic energy in the body, which wants to keep you stationary, and then you don't want to do your asanas and your pranayamas. It's that ignorance which we all know, when this tamasic energy which comes in the morning and the alarm clock is there and the body is full with this heavy energy which just wants to lie and sweat and dream, you know, this tamasic energy." So in yoga you have to overcome this, and Krishna consciousness works with another force. It is the pulling energy, the attractive energy. They have Sanskrit names, these energy, the pushing force and the pulling force are English translations of this. When you really enter the practice of Krishna consciousness, you might have to push yourself in the beginning a little bit to chant your rounds and to get up and do all these things. But after some time, another energy takes over, which is much, much stronger than the pushing energy which the human being can use. It's the pulling energy of Krishna, of God. It's almost like when the astronauts go into outer space, they have to use 70% or 80% of the fuel, the benzene, to just get away from the energy of the gravitational field of the Earth. Have to really burn a lot of energy to fly up there. And then, at a certain time, they feel the energy of another planet which pulls their aircraft, their rocket, or whatever they use, in the gravitational field of the other planet. So in spiritual life, we endeavor and we use a little effort on our own. But then, Mahojwala, we want to quickly come into the gravitational field, or we want to experience the pulling force of Krishna, which is much stronger than our own pushing force will ever be. It's the force of attraction which grabs our heart and just pulls it to the Lord. I think on our 64 rounds day, we worked with these two energies. We gave our best, but after some time, the chanting was just flowing on its own. Have you noticed? And there were times where effortlessly, without any own endeavor, Ante, you have just chanted and chanted and chanted. That meant you were pulled by Krishna's attractive force. And that's the more important force which is important. So Prabhupada spoke about this when he said, quality means in your chanting, when you don't push yourself any longer, but you are pulled by the sweet power of the holy name. And he gave that example of Haridas Thakur. He didn't have to push himself. He just went for 22 hours a day, just chanting, 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 chanting. I once have tried to do that when I was young. Young and innocent. I remember I was living in India, in Rajasthan, and I would every morning get up, I would take my bath in an ice-cold little lake. The lake was called Tapakund, the lake of austerity. But like, it was really, in the morning everyone heard me scream. It was really cold. And then I would start my practice. I would start chanting. And as soon as the sun came up, I would walk towards a mountain. I would always pass a few camels who were still sleeping, I remember. And I said, Dobro jutro, Kamelski. They said, they greeted me in their camel way. It was very nice. Then there was this one place where a cobra lived, and I would always bring a little milk for the cobra so that it would never bite me. And it was a wonderful time. I lived in nature. And then I went to my little mountain where I had made a sitting place, and I would try to chant as many rounds as long as I could. Now, for one, I remember still on Ekadasi, I was already had already gone beyond 100 and gone deep into the chanting, and I noticed how my body was becoming very, very weak. And I said, all right, I will take a little rest. And then when I woke up, the night had passed and the morning had already come. I must have lain there in the mountains for 8 hours or so and just slept. I said, okay, this day I was not successful. Tomorrow is my Haridas Thakur day. And I again tried. And I... this time my back began to hurt. I tried for 1 month, and every day there was an obstacle, and I just couldn't do it. It was not possible. And I noted that I had pushed my luck, my envelope. Then one day, I remember, I started my practice and I didn't have in mind to do something like Haridas Thakur. And I felt all of a sudden, here it was, a loving energy, no longer this pushing, I must do this, I must reach this, I must get to this goal. And I felt just so attracted to Krishna. I thought, Krishna is wonderful. I began to hear things and see things related to the practice of chanting. And I felt truly fortunate to be pulled. And then I knew, now I could chant without any limit. There was no desire to stop. The body was filled with divine energy. It was radiant. It was, and my sound was like this, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, like this. Huh? No, it was just going like a person who is in love and who doesn't think of stopping or he doesn't watch the clock. How long do I have this loving feeling now? He's just going and he's carried by this. So this is quality, really. To come under the influence of God and to experience the pulling force of Krishna, which is much stronger than whatever pushing force you can bring with your intelligence, with your body, and with your mind. These three forces every one of us has. We can think with a certain amount of intellectual strength. We can have some amount of willpower in our mind, and we can certainly also have some physical strength to do. But when we enter the real quality of chanting Amarananda, then we are no longer dependent on these limited energies which we have, but we are pulled very nicely. So you might now ask yourself, how can you awake this very powerful energy which is there within your heart, the power of attraction? How can you awaken this? Is this a good question, Ivo? That is all what is interesting for us, I believe, as practitioners. Isn't it, Damayanti? How can you experience this? Well, the scriptures say, Nitya Siddha Krishna Satya Kapunoi Shravanadi Shutachite Karaye udhoy. It means that the eternal perfection of love for God is already residing in the heart since time immemorial. It's already there, Madhupati. It is, and it can be awakened. This is now our question. How can it be awakened? It can be awakened by hearing. By hearing a lot of transcendental sound vibration. This sound vibration will awaken us back to our spiritual life. The Garuda Purana gives us an example of someone who is fast asleep because of the effect of a poison. And it says that the Maya Hata Jiva, that is the living entity in this world, is killed by the poison of illusion. It doesn't have its spiritual power, it doesn't have its spiritual energy. But just like a person who is bitten by a snake and is killed by the poison of the snake can be awakened by mantra, the living entity who is in this illusion can be awakened by hearing the transcendental sound vibration of the Hare Krishna mantra. I once was in Mayapur and I saw how this worked. We had a worker on our fields and he was bitten by a cobra. So we didn't know what to do. We asked some local people and they immediately went to the snake doctor. The snake doctor came and he looked where he was bitten and then he, it was amazing, I will never forget it. He made just a little cut, maybe this much where the snake bite was, an extra cut with a knife, just very, but on the surface, only on the surface of the skin. And then he started to chant his mantras. And the patient, who was already in coma, and who had, there was something like foam on his mouth. He really looked scary, you know. He came back to consciousness. He started to sweat a lot. His circulation moved. And then I could see how from this little cut which the snake doctor had made, this black blood came with all the poison in it. He put a cup under it. Just a little clay cup, you know. No much hygiene, and you know, Indian village doctor, you know, and it filled up, and then he said, "Bas." Bas means enough. It stopped to bleed. He took it. He said, "Dig some hole outside in the garden. Don't put it where a tree is." And then they put. They put the poison there and covered the hole, and he said, 2 rupees. And went home, and the worker was all right. 2 rupees is not much, you know. It's not even a kuna, isn't it? My treatment is first class, 2 rupees. So, mantra, the power of mantra worked on bringing the poison out of the system and to awaken the patient. So the Garuda Purana uses this as an analogy, how a mantra, by the power of the mantra which you hear, the poison of illusion goes and leaves you, and you actually awaken something which is already there, that is your love for Krishna. You should not only hear mantras, Damayanti, because you look, that's all, that's very simple. No, you should hear about Krishna also. Visha, visha, more and more. We must hear about Krishna. In this way, our love for Krishna will be awakened. It really works. See, a lot of the problems which a sadhaka, that means a practitioner, experiences, is because he just doesn't put enough spiritual food into his consciousness. He doesn't hear enough transcendental sound vibration which can empower him in his practice. I want to read this for you. Prabhupada said, this love will be awakened, not by force. It's like the love between two persons. This cannot be forced. You must love him and you must love her. Oh no, that is not love. That is not love. When this love comes automatically, then the quality comes. And then Prabhupada gives an example. And this example is very important, because especially our Damayanti, when I said, by hearing this love can be forced, Damayanti's face became one question mark. That's all? Did I read you properly? You were also thinking about something else. Yes, and this is, you are absolutely correct. This hearing must take place in an environment of devotional service, otherwise it will not work. Let me make this very clear, because I think this is what we need to hear here in our retreat. The sound vibration of the mantra does not work if you don't use it in the environment of bhakti, of devotional service. Then it will just not work. Just like our village doctor. The village doctor needed to have a few elements. He needed to have a picture of Mangala, that's a certain goddess he worships there, and he needed to have a certain, there was an assistant who chanted some extra mantra, and he needed to put some herbs on the wound. There was a little bit more than just the mantra, so that the mantra could work. A supportive culture needed to be there. So in the same way, if you want that your love of Krishna awakens by chanting the holy names, you must engage in service to Krishna. It is extremely important. And the example which Prabhupada always used in this connection is very telling. He says, the love between a man and a woman awakens usually when there is service. And he gave us the example of an Indian marriage. In India, marriage takes place before puberty strikes, before the teenage time. In old times, I don't think it's done so often nowadays any longer, but in old times there were these first class astrologers, and they could find out who was compatible enough to do a marriage, to engage in a marriage. And then they would read from the stars about the strengths and the weaknesses, and they would see if it would match with the strengths and weaknesses of the partner. And they would sometimes marry children when they were 4 years old, 8 years old. I think our devotees from England, they might have heard that the grandparents still did this. Vandana, your grandparents, you know about? Quite young, yeah. Maybe not 4 years, isn't it? Yeah, before they became teenagers, the grandparents, and it worked, isn't it? At least you are here. Yeah, they stayed together, you know. So yes, this was the old custom, and of course. You know, I always make a joke about it. When young boys and young girls meet, there is absolutely nothing like love. It's quite the opposite. You know, like I told you the other day when I was young, I thought girls are, I mean, something else. You know, extraterrestrials, beings, and not very useful for my playing activities, because they were always afraid of climbing trees and doing all these valuable activities which young boys like, wrestling, you know, and doing some Nikov activity, you know, something. But the way it happens is, the young girl also thinks boys are just too groovy. So groovy, these boys, you know, they're only wrestling, they are not interested in knitting, doing all these, and playing with dolls. They destroy my dolls always, you know. And this way, there is absolutely no attraction. So, but then, in Indian psychology, it's said that the parents will tell the young girl, please bring your future husband some sweets, you know. And the boy really doesn't take notice in the beginning. But then, at a certain moment, this is called the puberty, the boy sees the girl who is his future wife, who comes once in the month, you know, just to keep some contact. And he feels, ooh, what is this feeling? He feels something in the heart, you know. And after a few more meetings, maybe next month, he actually begins to think, I hope, I wait for the day when she comes again and I can see her. And he feels almost some illness without seeing this girl. And then the parents know, now it's time for the second step, you know. And then they stay a little bit more together, they begin to get to know each other, and they talk to each other. And after some time, they are so attached to each other, they are so connected to each other, that they can go through the good and the bad times together, because their hearts are bound together in love. And the way this love really appears is by service. You know, the girl brings something to eat or does something in the household, and the boy becomes attentive, and all of a sudden it's there. It is awakened. So in much the same way, we should start to bring something for Krishna. At this moment we don't care so much. We are like little boys and girls who have not awakened to the world of feelings, spiritual feelings. very much. We should now bring something for Krishna. No? He says in the Bhagavad Gita, Patram pushpang phalang toyam yome bhakta pranashyati. That give me a fruit, give me a leaf, give me water, and a flower, Ivo, and give this with some love, some beginning, whatever it is, you know, some, here, it's for you, Krishna. He begs us to start our giving process again, our long-covered giving process. And after some time of doing this, the feeling will awaken in the heart. The stream of love will be released. It will start to flow. And it will destroy the wall of selfishness which is around our heart and which makes us suffer so much. The wall of ego will go if we start this giving process. In such an atmosphere, the atmosphere of devotional service, no? The mantra will work very, very fast. Without this atmosphere, the mantra cannot work so fast. When I'm in America, then I give, our transformational butterfly is just coming to work today here. This window. Few weeks ago, I gave a concert together with Krishna Das. Some of you might know. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Deep voice, huh? Yes. Krishna, Hare, Hare. This is very deep voice, you know. So we gave a concert, and he invited his shortlist means a small list, not with the sincere chanters, and already the hall was full. When he invites his long list, a few thousand people come. So, but we only had a small, relatively small hall, and so first I sang, and then he sang, and the people came to me and said, there's something else when you sing than when Krishna Das sings. What is, do you know the difference? I said, yes, I'm a frog, and he is a nice singing bird. And he said, please, Swamiji, tell us the truth. That's not the point. And I said, well, I didn't want to say it, because I felt it's arrogant, or it's not nice. I said, just if you like it, then come also to our next concert is there. Visit my webpage, there you can find out where I am at which time, you know. But I was thinking about it, because it happened always when I'm in the yoga scene, they say it's so different. What's your different? What is your magic? And I always say, I'm the frog, you know. I don't want to talk about it. But here I think it's good to talk about when devotees chant of Krishna, it's different than when people just chant the mantra for yoga purposes, for relaxation and for peace. When devotees chant, they practice serving Krishna, and they are interested in a relationship with Krishna. In the yoga scene, the yogis are mostly, at least in America, interested in shanti, just peace, personal peace, that the mind stops talking so much, and that they just become peaceful and happy. But in devotional service, an extra magic is there, and that is a relationship to God is developing. So that's the difference. These yogic people have a different motivation, their own peace, and so on. And they are still in some ways captured in the mode of ego, the selfishness. And the devotee of Krishna wants to get out of this ego by serving Krishna and also serving the other, the devotees of Krishna, who are the living entities, the living beings. And that is that extra quality. When you are now devotees, you are walking the bhakti path, please never forget this. The mantra only will work. You will only have experienced the quality of the mantra in the field of devotional service. Then, if that supportive field is there, you will learn the quality. Just like the little girl who is married, then at one stage, by serving the little boy who is her would-be husband, will develop in that relationship, the mutual means two-sided love will develop. This is the quality, vandana. Vandana means worship. Yes. Yes. Mm-hmm. So, yes. Let me summarize today's discovery lecture. I hope it was discovery. We are speaking today of quality. Quality means when you don't go with the pushing force, but you come under the influence of the pulling force, which is love, which is attraction. And this this you will develop when you chant your mantra in the atmosphere of bhakti, devotional service for the Lord. I want to end here and see if you have any questions for this morning. Mm-hmm. I saw Mataji first. Please, I think you will translate Lila Purushottam, the question. Do you think of yourself or of someone else? At home. Where do you live? Which town?
Pivka, in Slovenia.
In Slovenia. How far from Ljubljana?
1 hour,
yeah. Mm-hmm. Good. So the question is, how will I chant in the right atmosphere, internal atmosphere, if I don't have the support of the association of devotees? It's very interesting that to chant two types of atmospheres are recommended. One is solitude. Solitude, do you know what this is, Lila Purushottam, in the translation? And the other is Sangha. Sangha means association with like-minded people. Every chanter should learn to chant in these two atmospheres. When we chant in the association with others, we get a lot of their devotional energy, which is like a wind which helps us to fly. When we chant in solitude, we have the benefit that we must concentrate on our relationship to Krishna. You are alone. Alone with God. To be alone is very good when you can be alone with God, and it is a drama when you are alone with your umski, your mind. And you are alone with your story. Thank you. So please sometimes visit Ljubljana, and you might, Mataji, you might think of developing in your home a Bhakti Sangha meeting place, Bhakti Vriksha meeting place. Think about it, talk with some people, maybe there's a possibility. Yes, anyone else? Gaurahari.
Could you please tell us how, while we are listening the mantra, we can listen in a mood of service? Often we relay service with practical matters. How, while chanting, can we offer something to Krishna?
Very interesting question. First of all, I want to be clear that your chanting should take place in the greater environment of a life of devotional service. Yes? But now you asked more specific, can we also make our chanting of mantra a devotional service? And the answer is yes. Bhaktivinoda Thakur describes that in the chanting, all the nine processes of devotional service are there. First of all, it's hearing. Hearing about Krishna is devotional service. It's one of the nine limbs of bhakti. Then the second is chanting with your voice. It's like kirtan, huh? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna. That's a service, Gaurahari, to Krishna. Then comes vandanam, offering of prayers. We have heard that we should chant in a prayerful mood. My dear Radha, my dear Krishna, please engage me in your devotional service. And then come all the other processes of devotional service, pada sevanam, and so on and so forth. And now comes the surprise, which is actually on level 2, but because you asked. There are meditational processes which you do in the japa, where you do all these other nine services. Amazing, isn't it? You can do all the nine services while chanting. Radhanath Maharaj told me once, he said this in a lecture, he goes in his meditation before the deities and he offers flowers. Deity worship. He thinks the name in this meditation, Radha and Krishna are there, the personification of the name, and they are offered flowers, Haribo, jasmine, lotus, everything. This brings us to the area of manasa seva, to do service in the mind. It's a little advanced, and you have to come to level 2 to learn all these things. There's so many more things to learn. yes. Or you can think, Gaurahari, that your chanting is a loving offering. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, like that. Krishna, Krishna, Hare, you know, you're offering yourself. Swaha, Gaurahari, Swaha. No? That's what I think. I'm giving myself totally to the chanting. No, nothing left of me. Anyways, not glorious. Let us offer ourselves in the sacrificial fire of the holy name. Vijeta. Hare Krishna Vijeta.
There were three things that you told us to meditate on. One was that Krishna is present before us, that we're actually speaking to Krishna. The other one is the meaning of the mantra, so please engage me in your devotional service. And then the third one was to have some sort of lamentation. Mm-hmm. And I was trying to meditate on all those three things. So I was like, while I was chanting, I was like, okay, I'm chanting and Krishna's in front of me. And then I was like, okay, please engage me in your devotional service. Okay, I'm really sad because I'm not engaged in your devotional service. And then I was like, okay, I'm really sad. I'm really sad. And then the mantra was like, I was still chanting, but I wasn't listening to it so much because I was like trying to meditate on the three things. So how do you chant and hear attentively while praying?
You do all these things, you know.
Yeah.
It's like.
Yeah. Yeah.
In England, we as children have the some you know, you have to do, I can never do these things, you know, where you do a few things at the same time. Yeah. First of all, whatever tools you learn, please take the tools which work for you. That's very important. Everything may not work. And then, second rule, Vijeta, don't do everything at the same time. You know, have you tried this juggling? Juggling, yes. I've actually once learned it with three balls for 5 seconds. Whatever works with you. Aren't we sometimes, Vijeta, please, it's so simple. Sometimes you are in the mood where you feel I have fallen from the spiritual world into the material world, and it's there. And then you chant from that mood. It's how to explain this to young devotees. Mm. The mood is always there. It's with you. Throughout the day, you have a certain thought in your mind, and you do the other things while the thought is there. For instance, yesterday in the evening, we had the thought of happiness, and we could dance. We were not. Oh my God! I have to be happy. I'm happy now. And how do I make this simultaneously that I dance? You know, no problem. You dance happily. That's how you do it. Now I can imagine if someone now dances and he feels, my God, I have to be super extremely happy. Then it doesn't work. But if the mood is there, then you dance with the strength of the mood. You don't get happy and dancing. How to do these two things at once, you know? No, it goes very well together. So in the same way, when you chant, these things go very well together if you don't force it. You just remember the technique, and if it fits at that moment, you use it. If it doesn't fit, you don't use it like that. Thank you. This is a very important question. This Vijeta just did something very nice. She put a question which is very relevant, and although we might have laughed happily about her question. Very good question. Thank you, Vijay. Yeah. Yes.
I had the same problem, really. Quite the same. I tried to motivate myself with these three things.
Mm-hmm.
I tried to motivate myself with these three things, and maybe that was the problem for me. I had to maybe...
No, you have to go step by step, almost as if you go through a gate. First you meditate, Krishna is identical with the name. Okay, done. Next. You do the other meditation. Done. Then you do the third. Done. And then you fly. Like this. Don't worry. Things are practice. Who has practiced driving bicycle? And who has thought when he sat on the bicycle the first time, I never make it. I was desperate. How to do this? I at the same time, I'm moving my legs. Then what else? Left, levo, desno, oh my God, and then I have to sit here on this unusual sitting seat, you know. I never make it. Let's sell the bicycle again, mommy and papi. I cannot do it. Then my parents said, well, what we can do is we put some extra wheels on. You know, then we put these extra wheels. And after 1 week, you know, I was just racing around in the neighborhood with my little bicycle. And I was just praying every evening to God, when will these foolish wheels go away? I'm a grown-up bicycle rider, you know. Extremely talented for bicycle, you know.
Thank you.
Practice. And if it doesn't work, then always you should go back to the essentials. That is hearing and making the sound and hearing and locking your mind in these two practices. That's where you should always go back to. No matter what technique you use, and you will see how all of a sudden you will discover a new world in these two practices of hearing and chanting. Krishna. I'm now a little bit... We will have our last question with Bhakta Vit. Vid means to know.
When I'm chanting my rounds, when I chant, there is always some thoughts in the mind, some other analyses, feelings. So I just cannot. How can I enter into the state when I only heard the holy name when I'm chanting my rounds?
You must know that the reason why your mind is so active is because it is very much moved by your life. You know, it is very restless now. You don't have a still mind as of yet. But the mind will become still with this little advice to sit properly. And to, no need to do it now, Sheila. And look look towards the deities, or look at least in one direction. Don't go everywhere, you know, to look at everything. And then just concentrating on the sound. It works. It works. After some time, your mind will come to the still lake mind, the mind of the still lake. I chanted with you, Vit, when I was a little tired. I went outside and you were chanting before me. I thought it was very nice. The sound was very steady, how you chanted. I was tired, so I felt encouraged by being next to you. It helped me to be more present, yes. Yes. So just, you have to just know it's the agitated mind which makes this problem, and the mind calms down by disciplined practice. 100%. Maybe you should do one thing in your life. You should try to regulate your life so that you can use these Brahma Muhurta early hours, where the mind is not so active. That means earlier to bed, and maybe not eat a meal in the evening time. I yesterday ate a big meal in the evening time, and I, you know, good morning. The good angel comes of the hotel. So yes, this is how to do. I know you have more questions, and today in the afternoon, no, morning session. I yet don't know. Either in the morning session, yeah, in the morning session we will now have. I will not talk so much. Well, we didn't talk much. We will not have so many exercises. We will now start to already answer your questions. I know there are many devotees who want to speak to me and ask the questions, but I only have limited time. I think you know, I have to. I cannot speak with everyone, but you can ask your questions. In the morning session and in the afternoon session. Let me see. For sure in the afternoon session. The morning session I have to still design everything a little bit. Yeah. Good. So now is your breakfast time. Amarananda is already ready. So please, I will see you at 11:45, yes. I wish you a wonderful day, the day of quality. Huh? When you do your chanting, your extra chanting, think of the motto quality. Huh? Yeah.
love.